Good morning and welcome to Park Church. My name is Matt. I am a pastor here on staff. It's good to see you here this morning on this kind of gloomy, rainy morning. As Brian said, as long as God is in the house, we're doing okay. And so God is here. We trust that and we believe that, and we're glad to see you here also. I want to start by asking a question. Have you ever had an experience where you just don't feel like there's a way out? Could be anything, something big, something little, a situation where you just could not see your way out of it. We face these all the time, from how am I going to get past this conversation with this person who won't let me leave, all the way to I can't see how my marriage is going to get fixed. I can't see how my son is going to get well. Yeah, I remember this experience in a sort of silly way. That at the time, it didn't seem silly. At the time, it seemed like my life was going to end. Here's the scene. Our first son is born, and this is about 5 months. He's about 5 months old, and this is fresh in my mind because we're going to have another one of these things in about 2 months. So I'm starting to prep myself for baby world again. Our first son is born. It is about 3:23 in the morning, exactly, and it's my turn to go get him if he wakes up, and he wakes up, and I, you know, tiptoe into his room. At 3:23 in the morning, nothing makes sense. My world has fallen apart at 3:23 in the morning, so I tiptoe over to his crib. I see the pacifier has fallen out. I do the thing, and this was our routine. I don't know what it was for you when you had your little ones, but I would put the pacifier in. I would hold it there, leaning over the crib not to touch it. Hold it there for about 7 or 8 seconds. As soon as he accepted it, you would need to pull your hand back with a kind of spring-loaded action so that he didn't feel it. And then you'd have to stand there, just totally silent, standing there, because if you moved at all, if you breathed wrong, if you sniffled, if you blinked too hard, he was going to wake up. And so you'd wait there for probably 3.5 minutes. And you'd, like, by this point, your muscles are just done. Because this is probably like the third time you've done this night. And I remember standing there like this, and it seems like he's asleep. And then you start creeping backwards at about this speed. It's so slow. You're creeping backwards. You know that there's a floorboard behind you that if you touch it, you know, like Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, like you are done. You're creeping backwards, and all of a sudden, the heat kicks on, the copper pipe hits the wall, baby wakes up, back to screaming. At 3:23 in the morning, I feel like I am in the middle of the Pacific Ocean without a lifeboat. This is not going to end. I can't see a way out of this. The fact is, sometimes life can feel like that. We go through experiences that feel like we just cannot find a way out because we can't see a way out. That's what experience tells us. But faith tells a different story. Faith counters that with something different, which we're going to start to see this morning. This morning, we're kicking off a new series called Pioneer Faith. Go where you have not been. For the last few weeks, we've been going through a series where we're talking about turning and returning to Jesus to follow him. And this week, we're asking the question, well, where does he want us to go? Where does he want this faith to take us? And the answer is simple. It's up there, where we haven't been yet. And he takes us into places like our fears and into our doubts. And he takes us into places where, like, self-help and self-medicating solutions just can't help us. And he leads us into those places because that's the place where Jesus helps us. He leads us also into a future that's both partially known, but it's also unknown. And that's both exciting, but it's also scary. But he also leads us into a past to mend us and to heal us, and to help us fix what needs to be fixed. This faith is a faith that takes us out of our comfort zone, to send us forward, to explore, and to settle new places. westward the wagons. This is a pioneer faith. And so to intro this series, we're going to spend our time this morning on the passage that lends the series its title. It's in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And it'll be up there on the screen. So here it is. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." This is a beautiful passage. Hebrews is a letter written to a group of Jewish Christians, hence the word Hebrews. And these Hebrews, they were about to enter into a very difficult time for their faith. And when you read the whole book, you really see this pretty clearly. Over the last decade or so, they had probably seen or heard about the two most important leaders in the church, Peter and Paul, be killed for their faith. And there were also other lesser names along with them who were killed all for their faith. Some of their own leaders were imprisoned for their faith. Some had their properties confiscated. But most of them were all subject to some sort of public ridicule, all because they were trying to follow Jesus. The situation that they were entering into was a dangerous one. They could not see their way out. And so what the letter to these Hebrews is a sort of theological tour de force pep talk. That's, don't give up. Don't give up on the real and living faith for some cheap and local knockoff. Even if they can't see your way forward, even if you can't see it, hang on. Because, and here's the point, sometimes faith will lead you to places where you haven't been and where you don't know where you're going. Places that are difficult, that are uncertain, that are dangerous, and that we can't see our way through. We can go there, though, according to the writer of Hebrews, because Jesus is the pioneer of our faith. And so what is a pioneer? In Greek, it's the word archegos. And it has a wide scope of meaning. It means author and originator, founder of faith. Some different translations may have it like that. It also means the captain of faith, like the captain of the ship. It also, in ancient Greek sources, it meant the hero of the city. This was the guy who would defend and save the city from its enemies. And I like all of those. But it also means pioneer, what we think of pioneer. You know, the trailblazer with the funny hats and the, you know, Daniel Boone situation. So what do pioneers do? The most basic thing that pioneers do is they go before us. They went ahead of us to explore a new land that offered promise of something better. Pioneers go before you, so they've already been there. They know what to expect and what it will be like. They know what to look for, what to look forward to, and what to avoid. They know where to go and how to get there. A pioneer goes before us so that we don't need to see and know the way forward, because he can show us. Jesus is that pioneer for us in every way. He goes before us to blaze the trail, to lead us, to show us, and to help us along. Being a pioneer was also dangerous. I don't know about you, but most of my knowledge base for what pioneers actually did comes from two sources: Dances with Wolves and the Oregon Trail video game, right? If you were a middle schooler during my time, you probably remember those like 5-inch black floppy disks that you put into the Apple IIe and you'd kick it on, and during class you get to play the Oregon Trail and you could make up gleefully inappropriate names that when pioneers died, it would go on the headstones and everyone would laugh. So what do we learn about pioneers from the Oregon Trail? That a lot of them died, right? A lot of them died along the way. There were a lot of diseases. Bindi got measles. And Joe got typhoid. And Carol had dysentery. And for better or worse, a lot of people died from dysentery. It was dangerous to be a pioneer. I did a little extra research about what was dangerous about the Oregon Trail, not the video game. So let me get that off there. That's a little distracting. Not the video game, but the actual Oregon Trail. And listen to some of the top 10 ways to die on the Oregon Trail. Disease, starvation, accidents, fights with other pioneers and with Native Americans, wrong turns, which if you took a wrong turn back then, there wasn't a way back. And get this, premature burial. I guess if you were like sick and dying on the Oregon Trail, you got some infection or something, rather than drag you along and slow you down and also risk people getting sick because of you, they dig a grave for you and just let you die there. I don't know, I don't know about that, but I guess they didn't have enough heart to kill you by hand and they didn't want to waste a bullet on you, so they would just put you in the ground, premature burial, go away, keep going. Being a pioneer was hard, it was dangerous. Pioneers, think about it, left the safety of their home, of civilization, of numbers, in order to venture out and seek something better. They took a great danger onto themselves. When pioneers go before us, they assume the risk. They take on the threats so that we who go after don't have to, so that we can go safely, having been shown the way. And this is a perfect image for Jesus, who left home, who stepped out of that safety of heaven, and who emptied himself and took the form of a human and the lowliest of the low at that. When we talk about Christmas, this is what we talk about, God becoming a human being just like you or I in Jesus, not to be glorified, not to be triumphant, but to give himself in self-sacrifice, to endure the cross. This was why God became human, to endure the cross, to take on that great pioneering danger to himself. Because God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so wanted this lost world back that he assumed the risk of humanity. Like a pioneer, he took on what threatens us when he took our sin onto himself and took our death. He took our death on the cross, that judgment that's rightfully ours. He took it onto himself so that we could go safely. This is how he is our pioneer, to bear the danger so we don't have to, so we can go safely. He goes before us into death like this, but also so that he can bring us safely into life. You see, it's not just the cross and death and its shame that he is our pioneer in, but he is also our pioneer in life, in new life, in resurrection. It says in Hebrews that he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is resurrection talk. It means that after Jesus was dead and buried, God raised him to new life, and he lives still, the firstborn from among the dead, but not the last. Scripture puts it like this, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. He leads us as pioneer into new life. And so you have these two ways of seeing Jesus as the pioneer of our faith, the cross and the resurrection, in suffering and death and in future in life. And I want to hold before you that this is the way we should think about Jesus as our pioneer. These are the two sort of great sides of the same coin. And because he leads us through that wide spectrum of death and life, he can lead us and be our pioneer in whatever we face. In all of the suffering we encounter, in all of the struggle and the pain and the mistakes and our sicknesses and our sin and our death, Jesus is with us in those things as our pioneer because he has gone before us into that void and takes it on our behalf. And the future that's ahead of us, all of our hope, all of our life, our rebirth, Jesus is also with us there because he too has gone ahead of us and brings us with him as we put our faith in him, as we put our trust in him. That's the simple call that Jesus gives to each of us. Follow me. To go behind him and to walk after him like we're running a race with him as the leader who we follow. And this is the way that faith is frequently talked about in Scripture, actually, but especially here in the letter to the Hebrews, as a race where we are running it behind and with Jesus. And this passage in Hebrews up here gives us three ways to kind of develop our faith in Jesus using this race imagery. Now, I am not a runner. I despise running. My legs are too short. I have too many problems. Any excuse to not run, I'll take it. This is not my wheelhouse as far as imagery goes. But we'll go anyway. So the first is to let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. The image here is of an athlete preparing to run, who prepares for the race by putting on like heavy training leg irons and arm weights. This is like the people in baseball who put the donuts on the bat so that when they take the donut off, they can swing free and easy. When the runner takes the weights off, he can run freely and stronger with more endurance. If the runner were to run the race with the weights on, he'd have no chance of finishing. He'd tire out and break down before it's over. He needs to take the weights off and lay them aside. What the writer of Hebrews is saying to us is that for us to run the race and to endure, we have to lay aside our weights. The sin that clings so closely. The sin that surrounds us and that drags us down and that distracts us from Jesus. I wonder, can you think of sin that clings closely to you, that drags you down? Has there been something that you've done or been doing or still do that causes you pain, grief, guilt, that feels like a heavy burden pressing down on you? Listen, that weight, that heavy burden, it's of sin. It's supposed to feel like it's pressing down on you because that's what sin does. It oppresses us. But you can lay that weight down because Jesus has gone before you precisely to the cross to carry that weight for you, to take your sins away. So that weight, that's no longer yours to carry. The call of Hebrews is to trust in him, to lay that aside. Don't trust in your ability to carry that weight, but lay it aside and let the pioneer of your faith take it from you, because he frees you to follow him. The second image up there, the way to place our faith in Jesus the pioneer, is to run the race with perseverance. This word for race up here, it's in Greek, it's the word agon, which is where we get our word agony from. The weight training is rigorous. It takes enormous self-discipline, intense effort, because the race that is set before us is sometimes agonizing. For the Hebrews who are experiencing great trials and persecutions and hardships, as well as for you who are having a difficult time with this life today, following Jesus, it requires perseverance. It requires endurance in the face of hostility, in the face of things that are agonizing. And endurance is the right word to use here. The pioneers needed endurance. They had to endure harsh winters and droughts. They needed to endure when they were lost. They needed to endure through accidents and illnesses. To endure is one of the big words in this section of Hebrews. Jesus endured the cross. He endured hostilities against himself. We are called in Hebrews to endure trials. The Hebrews are praised for enduring hard struggles. It says that we need to endure in order to receive what was promised. We need endurance for the times where we can't see what's promised in faith. Because in those places, disappointment in God lurks around every corner. We need endurance when we are led into places we have not been before, because those places can be scary. We need endurance for when we are likely to quit the race, because quitting sometimes seems like the better option. And we can endure, we can run with perseverance only because Jesus, the pioneer, goes before us, and we can trust in him. He has run it already. He has blazed the trail for us, and because he runs it with us still. He gives us his strength and hope. He carries us along the way when we can't carry ourselves. For those of you who run, again, I haven't done this, but for those of you who run, isn't running better when you have someone else with you who's encouraging you and challenging you to move forward? A coach, let's say. When you follow Jesus, he is your running coach who runs alongside with you and pushes you along, encourages you, inspires you to give you strength to go forward. He sustains you when you need endurance. And he does it by giving that resurrection life that's up there. So count on him. Rely on him. Trust in him to power you through. And then the third way up there, the third way to place our faith in Jesus the pioneer, it's to look to him. In Greek, this is literally look away to Jesus, which implies looking away from everything and everyone else. Focusing your sight with laser focus on Jesus. We are prone to wander. Our eyes, our focus is prone to go elsewhere. We live in a world where focus is difficult because we have so many distractions. We have so many good TV shows and entertainment. We have so many places for our mind to go. The image here, it's kind of a comical one. The image is a runner who's running a race where he's constantly distracted from the course. So imagine you're running, you know, the New York City Marathon, and you're not paying attention to where you're supposed to be going. And so you make a wrong turn, and you end up in the wrong part of town. Or, you know, to push the comical aspect, you take a wrong turn, and you run off the bridge, and you fall into the river. You fall into a pothole, or into an uncovered manhole, and be eaten alive by sewer rats. Or you meet the Ninja Turtles, which would be pretty cool. But if you're paying attention to the course, to where you're supposed to be going, you're going to do just fine because you've trained for it. You've laid aside the weights, and you can endure because you're following the leader, because you're looking to him. It's Jesus who leads our race, who is out in front of us, who we are following, but who is always within sight. So when you're running the race, look to Jesus. Let him be the focus of your attention. Let him be the one who goes before you and shows you the way, who guides you and who aids you every step of the way. Keep your eyes on him. I think Aaron prayed that. Because when you're running a race that requires endurance, distance running, unless you're running on a loop, you can never see the end of the race from the beginning. You can never see where you'll end up from where you are now. This is precisely the problem facing the Hebrews, and it's why I opened the sermon with that question. They were facing a situation that they could not see their way out of. It was a race set before them to be run where they couldn't see the finish line. They needed a better way to see forward. This is precisely why this pioneer image of faith is so deeply helpful for the Hebrews to have learned and to accept it as their own, and for us to learn as well. And there is another definition of faith in Hebrews that I want to point us to now, because I think it's particularly fitting to this point. This is just a chapter earlier. The writer says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to describe the ways that the heroes of the Old Testament lived this faith. How Abel and Noah and Abraham and Moses, all of them, people who God called to do something that they could not see where they were going. They could not see the other side of it. But most importantly, for many of them, they didn't even see the result of what was promised to them. But they heard God's call, And they set out anyway with their own pioneer faith. Because real faith is assurance in spite of what can be seen. What faith comes down to for the Hebrews and for us, I think, is trusting in Jesus regardless of what things look like. Can we say that our faith is really like that? This is where faith stretches us. It's where it challenges us. It's where it's difficult. Because if we could see it, then it wouldn't be faith. It'd be sight. It'd be certainty. Brian said that was a day that we look forward to, but that day is not today. And the problem is that so many people confuse faith with sight. If I see God deliver what I want here, then I'll believe and I'll have faith. But faith doesn't work like that because it's faith. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years who have given up the race precisely because they don't see what they want to see from God. Countless times people have told me how they used to believe in God, but they prayed and prayed and prayed for this circumstance to change, and this circumstance didn't change. And so they gave up. Their faith could not endure because they confused sight with faith. Their hope was in what was seen, what was experienced in results, not in what was unseen. They were looking for a more immediate gratification, an immediate answer to the problem. They were looking for God to answer their prayers in the way that they wanted, and for God to turn their circumstances into circumstances they wanted. And so their faith really wasn't in God, full stop. It was in God to deliver what they wanted. Their faith was misplaced in a God called what you want. And faith in that God cannot endure when the going gets tough. But our faith, pioneer faith, is holding fast and hoping in God's promises, even when the situations and experiences in life tell you otherwise. It is enduring with hope in Jesus, even when what you see tells you to quit the race. This is a question that will play out throughout the series, but I'll raise it for you here today. Is your faith in Jesus only good when things are good? Or is it also good when things are not? The only faith that endures when you cannot see the end of the race, the only faith that you can really run with and finish the race, is faith that looks to Jesus, who is our pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because when you're looking to Jesus and Jesus alone, it is okay that you can't see the finish line. Because you're looking not to the finish line, but to Him. It's okay that the things seen don't quite match the things hoped for. Because your faith isn't in those things, it's in Jesus. And your eyes are fixed on Him, who is just ahead of you in the race, showing you where to go, leading the way, spurring you forward, giving you strength, and feeding your endurance. It's okay that the story that your experience tells you is that there's no way out of the situation you're in. Because faith tells you a different story because of who the pioneer of your faith is, Jesus, who is crucified and risen for you. So throughout the series, we will open up the different places that this faith takes us, like into our doubts, into our pain, into the unknown, and we'll explore how this pioneer faith leads us there, going ahead of us, freeing us, strengthening us, and showing us the way. So let's pray that God will open that up for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you first and foremost always for sending your Son into this world to live as a human, to teach us, to heal us, to suffer, to die on our behalf, to be buried, and then to be raised into new life that He leads us in. We thank you that you so loved the world, which means that you so loved us also, to send Him for us to save us. And we thank you. We pray, Lord God, that you would lead us in our faith now. We pray, Lord, that you would go ahead of us into the situations where we don't know what it will look like. The situations and the experiences, the relationships, the places in life that are scary. We pray that you would lead us. We pray that you would make yourself known to us just ahead of us so that we know how to follow you there. We pray, Lord, that you would help to free us from all of the weight and the sin that clings so closely. If we're holding on to that guilt, if we're holding on to that shame, if we can't let go of those sins that we like to do, God, help us to get rid of them. Help us to lay them aside. Give us the humility and the courage to do that. Lord, we pray that you would sustain us. For those of us who are lacking in endurance or who are lacking in perseverance, who are tired, sustain us, Lord, by your Spirit and by your resurrection life. Give us those first fruits now. Lord, help us to look to you. As Aaron prayed earlier, fix our vision so that we can look forward to you, straight at you with a laser focus so that we know exactly where to go. When we can't see the end of the race, help us to have faith in you that you will lead us there. Lord, help us to trust you even when what is seen doesn't look like what we're hoping for. And God, teach us what it means that Jesus is not only our pioneer, but also our perfecter. Lord, for those things in our lives, for those things in our faith, for those things in our heart and in our mind and in our past and in our present and in our future, perfect them. We know our faith is not perfect. Our discipleship, our following you is not perfect, but you are also our perfecter. You forgive us. You give us new chances. You give us new hope and new life. And you take our feeble efforts and make them something that they weren't without you. We pray that you would do that for us now. Pioneer and perfect our faith. We pray, Lord, that we would fix our eyes on your work now. And in Jesus' name, we pray these things to you. Amen.